KEY today.
Ah, the health care bill passes 220 to 215 in case you missed it on Saturday. Very late with the public option intact. The Dems tearing up the town, but they might have to get a grip. The Senate GOP says not so fast. We got next. 100-mile-an-hour winds racing toward Louisiana in the form of a hurricane named Ida, so it's a state of emergency. The Christmas Carol, $31 million at the box office. Are people really in the Christmas spirit already? Joe Jackson, Michael's father, wants a monthly allowance from his estate after the kind of nonsense he put his son through. Oh, my, oh, my, what a taker. And I have a take on that. That's coming up later this hour here on America Tonight. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney. I hope you had a fabulous weekend. We roll into a jam-packed show. First, we start with more news on Major Hassan, who slaughtered 13 people, wounded 42 others moments before he opened fire last Thursday at Fort Hood in Texas. He yelled, Allah Akbar. Terrorism or a tragic accident? The country and analysts, to be honest, are divided. How about you? Here's one medic recalling what it was like as things unfolded.
It happened really fast. Started hearing gunshots coming from the building closest to me. Everyone around just started scattering, trying to take cover behind cars, trees, pretty much anything they could run to. Some people started getting into their cars. Just heard a lot of people screaming, a lot of people yelling, shooter. Everyone got on their cell phones, called 911. I mean, everyone there was scared for their own safety. But, you know, in times like that, you don't really think about what you're doing. A lot of times you just, you're trained to react a certain way, and that's how you act. Honestly, I can't really tell you too much about that. She had about a... three or four people towards her shoulders and head, holding her up a little bit, talking to her, trying to keep her awake while I was working on exposing the leg and the wound so I could put a tourniquet around it. I just know they were, from what I could hear, they were trying to keep her awake. She was starting to fade in and out of consciousness, and I didn't really hear anything she might have said. We couldn't get him to say anything. We couldn't tell him to get him to tell us if he was breathing okay, if he was hurt anywhere else. You know, you're just trying to figure out, make sure he's got an airway, and usually you can kind of assess the patient's state of mind by what he tells you.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't tell us anything, and he looked really pale, like he was starting to go into shock. Still a little hard to you know, comprehend the fact that it happened. You know, it's just so unexpected, but, I mean, you just hang out a lot with your friends, talk with your family, and, I mean, you just push through it.
And that's what people are doing, talking with their family and their friends. And sadly, you can't do anything to bring back the people who were slaughtered, like I said. And at this point, still in my last check, 17 people still in the hospital with gunshot wounds, 9 intensive care late into Saturday, even into Sunday morning. And, of course, church services everywhere were honoring the victims. And a lot of people still shaking their heads at what happened in Fort Hood. Who could believe it? And what was the deal with Hassan? So there are all kinds of angles here. And looking back in retrospect, could anyone have stopped the major? And I think this has angered a lot of the families, because in the months leading up to that shooting spree, he raised a few eyebrows, and we talked about it on our last show heading into the weekend with some of the comments about the war on terror, that it was a war on Islam. He said that to a lot of people, and he was wrestling with demons over what to tell fellow Muslim soldiers who had their doubts about fighting in any kind of an Islamic country. So then you ask yourself, well, what is the system doing to stop somebody like this? When you see the red flags, I mean, when they're right there in your face and the guy has the access to the people that he does, and he is a psychiatrist, what is it that can be done to stop something like this from happening again? I mean, you're not going to have lockdown on all the bases. Certainly we know that. And we know that in any walks of society, somebody could, quotes, go postal. But the question becomes what was leading up to this and things that were being posted and the FBI looking into this. And was it a question of people being very, very afraid to speak up and too politically correct for fear that they would seem like they were being anti-Muslim and that that wasn't the right thing to do? And that's what I think it looks like at first blush over all of this stuff. I mean, why wasn't he at least confronted? The military is certainly not bashful about confronting other people about a slew of other things. Just ask anybody who's gay and served in the military. Remember, don't ask, don't tell. Why do you think that came about? So he was never confronted about beliefs or told, hey, listen, you got to cut the crap, dude, and, you know, this isn't how we roll here. I mean, who's been in the military? How many guys have we had on the show, and women, who have told us about the sense of duty and what you have to do and other people having your back, and that's the way things go. Never leave a man behind. So if something is up, if something's wrong with somebody, you got to speak up, right? So he was never told he had to shape up. He was never told, forget about it, maybe you ought to think about something else, even though your entire life has been this. And apparently he persistently complained about the anti-Muslim sentiment in the military, is what he said, is what Hassan believed, and really pushed it in his politics into all kinds of places, and made a lot of people around him question his priorities, regardless if this had happened or not. But now, because it's happened, it's taking that look back and saying, wow, so this happened, this was said, this was posted. And you think about this, he fired 100 rounds in a soldier processing center just last Thursday in Fort Hood, is now, of course, the worst mass shooting on a military facility in our country's history. So everybody's trying to get a hook into what was going on inside this guy's head. What could have happened? It was not strictly trying to get out of going to Iraq. It wasn't trying to elude the pending deployment. It was other things as well. And he was an Army psychiatrist, so he had access. Nobody was thinking, oh, this is where this could happen here. This is what could possibly happen, right? I think it was a mixture of his beliefs and not wanting to go to Iraq. In the meantime, the issue comes up, and of course it's obviously being investigated at this point, as to whether or not strictly terrorism or just somebody who went rogue. Which is it? And there are a slew of opinions across the country. The more things emerge about his religious beliefs and then jumping up and shouting Allah Akbar, the more it doesn't look good. And, of course, the Army chief is concerned for Muslim troops who have nothing to do with the radical view that he may have had. The lead general, I'm going to let you hear what he had to say on the Sunday Swirl, but General George Casey said he's concerned about the speculation about how religious was Hassan, and was it really a result of that, you know, his religious radical beliefs? Were they radical beliefs, and what kind of a backlash will we see against Muslim soldiers? I mean, this is, if nothing else, the most incredible tragedy. Sad. What a shame for that to happen. More than a shame, but what a horrible thing to shatter those lives of so many of those families and so many of those people who were serving and who were going to serve. And does this cost us diversity in the military? A lot of things to talk about. Coming up next, though, we're going to talk about education with Mike Rose, who's written a book called Why School?
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQUA Aqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AaronAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Did you know the dollar has lost 10% of its purchasing power in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Let's put it another way. Who cares if your investments go up 10% but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hands. You can take it with you. Gold is real money, honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect yourself and your retirement savings in the days ahead, call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
Attention landscapers, house painters, carpet cleaners, pet sitters, gutter cleaners, and anyone who has their own home service business. Would you love to build a huge and loyal customer base fast? Well, now you can. Introducing the Magic Yellow Flyer. The Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system is the most effective and inexpensive way to build a referral-only service business in a short period of time. Get new customers and build a solid customer base. Throw away all of the other ineffective and expensive advertising methods. You need the Magic Yellow Flyer. Corporate America is destroying our country, and it's time to rebuild the backbone of America. No matter what business you're in, the Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system will work for you. Don't have a home business? The Magic Yellow Flyer comes with 15 hot home businesses that you can start at a minimum cost. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com. That's MagicYellowFlyer.com. Put the Magic Yellow Flyer to work for you today. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com.
Don't know much about history, don't know much biology, don't know much about a science book, don't know much about the French I took, but I do know that I love you, and I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be.
Yeah, we talk about what we learned in school and what are kids learning in school now and where is education headed all the time here on America Tonight. So who better to have on than Mike Rose? He's written a book called Why School. Just got a really good review in the New York Review of Books. Just here's one quick little line from it. Rose gives a larger sense of the interplay between what happens in the classroom and the world outside of school. And as I could parrot that, how many times, probably at least five times a week, this issue comes up here on these airwaves. And Mike Rose, who teaches in the Graduate School of Education at UCLA, joins us now from our green room. He has to put that latte down, or maybe he is a black coffee kind of guy, I shouldn't assume. Hey, Mike, thanks for jumping on with us.
Thank you, Kate. It's nice to be here.
Okay, so the book Why School. Let's talk about that. The title is certainly perfect for what you discuss in the book. But for the audience, what set you on this journey? What were you trying to portray in the book? What was the ultimate goal of the book?
Right. Well, you know, Kate, I've taught for almost 40 years now, and everything from kindergarten to adult literacy programs to community college tutoring centers to universities, you name it. And to me, the purpose of going to school, whether it's kids or adults going back to retool, there's a rich set of purposes that people do this. Now, of course, one reason is because we want to be prepared for the economy. We want to be able to get a job, and that's why parents send their kids to school. But there's a lot of other reasons, too, that we go to school and that we send our kids to school. And I fear that in our current environment, a lot of those reasons are getting pushed to the margins. The focus is so much on economic preparation, and then we test how well we're preparing kids by giving them standardized tests. And that whole mechanism, it seems to me, just pushes too much out the window. It pushes out the civic motive, you know, sending kids to school so they can become citizens. It pushes out sending kids to school so they can find something that they're taken with, that find an intellectual passion. We send kids to school to learn how to solve problems with each other. We send kids to school for a whole host of reasons, and we just don't hear that kind of stuff in our policy talk.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. It's interesting you talk about standardized tests, and I find what I've seen from some kids is they're just trying to memorize answers. But then what happens is, so maybe they do pretty good on the standardized tests, or maybe they trip up on the tests, and then somebody like a comedian like a Jay Leno goes to the streets. I know you've seen this, Mike, and he'll start to ask questions about, can you name two people in the cabinet, or who's the vice president, or 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, who lives there? And you're just stunned at how many people cannot answer the most basic questions. So to me, is it about reform? What, as somebody who's been in the system at all levels, like you said, what do you think really needs to happen in education to get us back to the process that you mentioned?
Well, I'd like to answer your question by going to the example you gave, because it's the perfect example. So when Jay goes out there into the streets and asks those questions, we get a sense that a couple things are going on with the standardized tests, even if kids are doing okay on them. One is, you and I both had this experience, right? You can memorize all kind of stuff, and then the minute you regurgitate it on a test, it goes out of your head, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
the test doesn't encourage you to use that knowledge. It just requires you to store it away, dump it, and then get rid of it. And that takes me to the second point, which is really the big one, and that is, the purpose of education is not just to get us to cram a bunch of things into our heads, but to use what we learn, to solve problems with what we learn, to apply knowledge, to reflect on what we're doing, to use knowledge to think creatively, to go outside the box rather than inside the bubble of the test, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in thinking then about, well, what ought we be doing, I think we should be working as hard as we can to create schools and curricula, learning environments, where kids are really engaged with learning things and applying the knowledge they're learning, with reflecting on it, with puzzling things out with each other, all the kinds of things that you don't have to do if your curriculum is driven by a standardized test, at least of the kind that we tend to have.
And kidding. Hey, how about teachers? I mean, this is the thing that concerned me. Luckily, growing up, I grew up in New Jersey, and I had really good teachers that taught exactly what you're saying, kind of off the book,
mm-hmm.
off the margins, if you will. So I felt like I really got history and geometry and all that stuff. I think I had a good, solid education, but it was because of the teachers. I mean, I can even remember their names, like Mr. Mascola. But now I think a lot of people, not all, because I certainly have met some wonderful teachers, and, you know, you've done it for four decades, you know. But I think a lot of people, a lot of the good people are being driven away from education as well because they don't want to march in step with what they're seeing in the classrooms. I worry about that. Do you think that's a big problem, too?
Oh, I think that's a concern for sure. You know, Of all the wealthy industrialized countries, we just don't do a very good job of paying our teachers, of elevating the profession, of giving it the status it deserves, of providing ongoing, rich professional development. I mean, when you look at a lot of the other countries that that we always worry about because they're doing better on these international tests than we are, it's really interesting to see that in every one of them, they have a much different notion of the teaching profession. It's a much more prestigious thing to do. They're reimbursed, I think, on a grander scale than we are. And I think more important even is that they have a kind of status that we don't have in this country for our teachers. And they have a ongoing sense of their own professional development that is supported by the government. So there are big differences between the way we conceive of and treat and develop our teachers and what go on in some of the other countries that that we worry about in terms of these educational tests.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of things that we could talk about here in this short amount of time. We'll definitely have to have you back on again to talk about some other things with education. But one of the things the Department of Education was talking about a lot and they launched was Race to the Top.
Right.
Do you embrace this Race to the Top or do you see some potholes along the way with this?
Well, I think both. You know, I mean, first of all, it's an exciting thing to have the federal government enter education with such a big splash, right? I mean, they're putting up some huge amount of money that they're going to dole out to the states based on various kinds of challenge grants that they're proposing, on a number of across a number of topics like teacher development. So on the plus side, I think it's just terrific that that we have this kind of attention paid to education. And in fact, that you and I are even having this conversation, right? And noodling over Race to the Top. So this is all the good news. What concerns me a little bit is I'm not so sure, at least everything I've read so far that the government has put out, I'm not so sure that the Race to the Top folks have learned all the lessons that needed to be learned, let's say, from the problems with No Child Left Behind. There's still a lot of emphasis on this whole testing mechanism. And you know, Kate, when I raise concerns about these high-stakes standardized tests, please don't misunderstand. I am not at all saying we should abdicate responsibility or accountability. I'm not at all saying that we shouldn't be vigilant as a democracy about our public institutions. I'm not saying that at all. But the mechanisms that we've been using, for example, the standardized tests that you and I have been talking about, there were just so many problems revealed with No Child Left Behind in the way that school districts could game those tests. You know, certain kids wouldn't take the test on certain days, or they would raise or lower the cutoff points of the test so that they would come out looking better than they were in fact doing. So we know from No Child Left Behind that particular way of approaching school reform has a lot of problems with it. And I'm just not so sure, at least to this point, that the Race to the Top folks have learned all the lessons that needed to be learned from the problems with No Child Left Behind.
Yeah, well said. Mike Rose, the book is called Why School? Reclaiming Education for All of Us. Pick it up. It's a great read. Mike, thanks so much for coming on. We'll have you on down the road again to talk about education, okay?
Oh, I would love that. Thank you, Kate.
All right, thank you. And again, 40 years dedicated. You got to love that. I mean, a teacher who's taught all kinds of levels from kindergarten all the way on to the older kids and older folks as well. We're bringing it back around to the tragedy at Fort Hood next on ATN.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4 GB or 8 GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The DigiNet Spy sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. DigiNet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at DigiNet.net. That's DigiNet.net. DigiNet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681. For your DigiNet Spy products today, because video never lies.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Did you know that colon cancer is one of the most common forms of cancer in the U.S.? Did you know that the number one health problem patients complain to doctors about is gastrointestinal related? Health experts predict that almost every American will develop some type of colon disease, polyp, tumor, or cancer in their lifetime. If you suffer from constipation, irritable bowel syndrome, frequent gas, or other intestinal-related problems, you need to take action. That's why you need Temple Cleanse. Temple Cleanse is a unique colon cleanser that works by delivering oxygen and magnesium to the intestinal system to stimulate a gentle yet effective cleanse. It's the most effective colon cleanse product on the market and one of the best decisions you can make for your health. To learn more and to order your very own supply of Temple Cleanse, visit HealthTruthRevealed.com. That's HealthTruthRevealed.com or call 1-800-593-6273. That's 1-800-593-6273 today.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Toxins are in our foods, and chemicals are in our air. Chemicals are in our water supply. We purify our air and we purify our water, and yet we forget to purify our bodies. Funny, our bodies continue to absorb these deadly toxins and chemicals every day. Isn't it time to make a change? Maybe a life change? Get rid of toxins and chemicals. GetTheTea.com. Log on to GetTheTea.com and order your protection today. Our testimonies tell the truth. GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Cleanse from toxins and chemicals, lose some weight, and get free from unhealthy living. Order today at GetTheTea.com.
Somebody into the dungeon coming up in a little while here on America Tonight. By the way, nail the score. Did anybody win? I'll reveal that as well a little bit later on the show. Let's just say I wasn't happy about that game for all you Cowboy fans. Lifelong Eagles fan here. Do we have some booze? Do I ever get any backup from the people in Minneapolis? Thank you. You're supposed to be playing on my team. Sad thing is Matt Johnson. He had to run out and get, like, you know, one of those five-hour energy things and hand them out to everybody in the audience. Sometimes on Sunday, you know, how you have that sort of weekend hangover, as we'll call it, as you head into the work week. I know a lot of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You just have that exhaustion sort of hit you. You hit that wall. So it was Dallas beating Philadelphia. And like I said, did anybody nail the score? That's all you care about. Because remember, it's not about the game, it's about the final score. So, 2016 was the final score. Tony Romo with a 49-yard TD pass to Miles Austin. That was like midway through the fourth quarter. That was all she wrote. But I'm not going to give any more details on the game until we actually get to that. More importantly, it's really, really, let's face it, Fort Hood on everybody's mind, that rampage, that sick, sad rampage where you had everybody, every church across America, every synagogue, everybody non-denominational folks, whatever, everybody in any kind of a gathering, I think this was mentioned, prayers and then massive questions about, geez, you know, how did this happen? What was going on in his head? It still goes back to Major Hassan and the concerns there. And could something have been done because there were some red flags around? And is this have anything to do with religious beliefs because of what he yelled? And he was going to a mosque. And I've got something on the mosque, too, that now a lot of people are talking about. But it was interesting on the Sunday Swirl to get the reaction of General George Casey, Jr. He is the Army Chief of Staff. And, of course, he was went down to Fort Hood. And, you know, there's an investigation going down and all that sort of stuff to figure out about what happened, how it unfolded, what happened on the base, all that sort of stuff in this rampage, right? And also the worries of a backlash against some of the Muslim soldiers. So the general talked about a couple of different things, whether or not he acted alone, which I think they're pretty confident about that at this point with 100 rounds, and also about those warning signs, the red flags that I talked about, and the religious side of it. So here's General Casey.
George, I can't comment on the ongoing investigation, and those facts will come out over time here. We need to let the investigation take its course, and as I said, that will evolve over the coming days and weeks here. I think we need to be very careful here about speculating based on anecdotes like that. We are encouraging all of our soldiers and leaders that may have information pertaining to the suspect to come forward with that information to the Criminal Investigation Division and to the FBI. So I realize there's a lot out there. We all want to know what happened and what motivated the suspect. But I think we need to be very, very careful here in these early days and let the investigation take its course. These are professionals, and they'll sort through this. I think you're exactly right, and I don't think we should speculate on one or the other or any other possibilities. And what happened at Fort Hood was a tragedy. But I believe it would be an even greater tragedy if our diversity becomes a casualty here. And it's not just about Muslims. We have a very diverse army. We have a very diverse society. And that gives us all strength. So, again, we need to be very careful with that.
All right, so then the question becomes, and the general knows this, and that's what he's saying, and he should say that as somebody who is a top brass guy. You know, he can't jump to these conclusions because they're hearing all kinds of things, and of course, now the interviewing process takes place. In other words, anyone around Major Hassan, anyone who knew anything about him, that's exactly what they've got to come to grips with, to come up with this final conclusion in this criminal investigation. And, you know, did the Army drop the ball by not responding to the warning signs that the major was becoming increasingly radical? Because this is the deal, folks. He is absolutely right. The general's absolutely right. You have diversification, of course, in the military. And first of all, the military can't afford not to be diversified, let's face it, in a voluntary system where it's not everybody serves like in Israel. When you turn 16, boom, you're going to college, you're going to be a doc, you're going to do this, you're going to do whatever you're going to do, you're going to work on airplanes, whatever. You all have to serve unless there's some physical limitation. So this is the problem. The problem is if those signs were clearly there and were ignored for fear of the opposite, oof, we don't want to be accused of saying that this guy's a little radical and, what's the blowback on that? We're afraid, got to tread carefully there on that territory before accusations and whatever. So here's the bottom line. If he was becoming an Islamic extremist, if he was heading down that road, which there are signs pointing to that from what people are saying, and becoming increasingly radical, look, our military has to have zero tolerance, for God's sake, when it comes to that. Are you kidding me? If he's showing those signs, and it wasn't just about, geez, I don't want to go. I see what happens when these people come back. I'm a psychiatrist, and now I'm bothered by this because of what I'm hearing from the people who have served, who have seen horrific things, who have post-traumatic stress disorder, all that sort of stuff. Emotional problems, he obviously had them. Was he strained by his work? I would say probably yes, and because he was working with veterans of combat in Iraq and Afghanistan, and then knowing about the deployment and all that sort of stuff. But so many of the people around the major, it's starting to leak out that there's no question they're saying that they've heard the major justify suicide bombings and make very radical and anti-American statements. So that's, to me, he should have been gone if that was the case. Because if anybody else did it, I don't care what the color of your skin or what the background, same thing, zero tolerance, out, gone, history. So you can speculate with us and throw in your 2 cents at 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. Great question. Did the Army drop the ball? Speaking of dropping the ball, the House over the weekend, shockingly working into the weekend, that's rare, isn't it? Saturday night, I came back, was watching some games, turned on the tube, and just in time to see a little bit of that final vote. So the House says yes to this health care reform, 220 to 215, but now it's in the Senate's court. And what will they do with this? I mean, this barely passed, right? After months of the back and forth in the Democratic ranks, they closed in on this. And, you know, they had 39 defections, mostly from the party's conservative types. But there was a Republican convert to the cause, Congressman Joseph Chow of Louisiana, who represents the District of New Orleans. And he was lobbied hard, and he flipped, and he went in the direction of the Democrats. So he was part of that 220. So the Democrats in the passage of this are calling this the answer to the call of history and an unprecedented milestone on the path to health care reform. They approve what was a $1 trillion package that would, all the things we've talked about on America Tonight, it would overhaul private insurance practices. It would guarantee comprehensible, quotes, affordable coverage to almost every American. And it's akin to universal health care, the way it's drawn up, the way it looks, the way it reads. But we got to remember, now you go from the House to the Senate. And what are the chances that the Senate bill has any kind of a prayer of getting through now that it shifts back to the Senate? If the Senate acts and negotiates to iron out the differences between the two chambers, it's going to be like a wrestling match you've never seen. And the public option, would it include an opt-out clause for states? Because that's one thing that's been put on the table. Would it require employers to provide coverage to workers or take the other approach that some people are saying? And do you tax the rich or tax high-cost health care policies? That's one of the things that's been proposed as well. We're going to let you hear what two senators have to think coming up around the bend here on ATN.
Say no to government vaccinations.
Say no to toxic overload.
Say no to chemicals.
Say yes to liquid zeolite. When you have fatigue, problems concentrating, muscle weakness, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, or joint pain,
the solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body.
Chemical-free liquid zeolite helps the body heal itself so that it can become stronger to fight off viruses.
Why risk government vaccinations?
Liquid zeolite detoxifies the body by safely helping remove toxins and heavy metals, boosting energy levels, and promoting a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is tasteless, odorless, and so gentle you won't even know you're taking it.
Feel great again in as little as 3 days to 3 weeks.
Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but it's only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 1-800-976-0025. 1-800-976-0025. 100% natural, 100% safe,
100% amazing.
Try liquid zeolite today.
eCigarettesNational.com would like to introduce an alternative to smoking regular cigarettes to all GCN listeners. It's called the e-cigarette. It looks, feels, tastes, and delivers nicotine like a regular cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, you don't have to worry about more than 3,900 toxic chemicals and tar entering your body. There's no flame, so there's no risk of fire, and has no dangerous secondhand smoke, so it's safe for the people around you, and will save you right around 50% over smoking regular cigarettes. So, get rid of the ashtrays, the smell, and the smoke. Learn more by visiting eCigarettesNational.com. That's the letter E, CigarettesNational.com. eCigarettesNational.com. And use coupon code GCN and receive 10% off your order. Or call 1-888-329-7064. 1-888-329-7064 today. To purchase, you must be 18 or older.
Do you have trouble getting through the day? Do you feel tired and worn out? Pounding expensive energy drinks? It's a proven fact. Many people do not get the proper daily intake of essential vitamins and nutrients. With the lifestyles we lead, eating fruits and vegetables is sometimes easier said than done. Introducing Choose 4 Health. Choose 4 Health brings you 16 powerful ingredients in one delicious chewable for around 75 cents per day. Each chewable contains a full day's worth of the necessary fruit and vegetable intake you need. Choose 4 Health also contains antioxidants and vitamin B12 to give you that extra boost to curb midday cravings for snacks, energy drinks, and coffee. Call 1-800-210-1922 right now and you will receive a 1 week supply of Choose 4 Health absolutely free. Just pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-210-1922. That's 1-800-210-1922. Or visit orderchews.com. That's order, C-H-E-W-S.com. Start your healthy lifestyle now.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play your music. Let me see what spring is like. On Jupiter, in other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. Fill my life with song. Let me sing forevermore. You love all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love
you. What a shame to waste a good Diana Krall tune on some of the stuff that we're talking about here now. On America Tonight. Hi, everybody. Kate hanging out with you, of course, coast to coast and everywhere in between. Just a quick note on Major Malik Hassan, the Army psychiatrist who killed 13 people and officially wounded 29, but they say really the number's closer to 42 because there were others that were kind of nicked and whatever and not as serious as some of them who had to, in fact, go to the hospital, have surgery, and were in critical condition and whatnot and are pulling through. I mentioned this, but let me give you the tail end of this piece of information. Out of Washington, a story broke because everybody's scrambling to connect the dots on this guy and find out everything they can about him. So the Fort Hood shooter apparently went to the same mosque in Virginia as two of the September 11th hijackers in 2001, and that time was when a radical imam was preaching there. So the FBI is questioning, is looking into that background, all that stuff, because putting the portrait together of course, the major is the key thing here in answering the questions. So he would have, if you looked at this in the mosque, it is a good chance, obviously, he would have crossed paths with a couple of these guys for sure. At least one of the hijackers anyway, from what I could tell. And, boy, this thing just gets more and more twisted. And I have a feeling some uglier things are going to come out a little bit later in the week. We're going to have some more people on, by the way, with Washington connections coming up, including an analyst and terrorism expert later this week on America Tonight. Let's jump back to healthcare. And now the Senate, it's their turn to wrestle with this thing because the House said yes, 220 to 215, in case you missed it late on Saturday. The baton has been passed to this insurance overhaul, which is now what it's being called. And here are two different takes on it, as I'm not surprised. Senator Jake Reed from Rhode Island, basically a big thumbs up guy. Here's what he said.
I believe we're going to pass health care reform. I believe we must do this because it's essential to not just the quality of life here, but our economic success in the future. Senator Reid, Harry Reid, has introduced a public option. There's strong support there. But we are far from the end of the debate in the Senate. It will take a time. It will be careful, thorough, and deliberate. I hope that a public option is part of the final bill. I think there's a discussion about, as Senator Snow suggested, a trigger to the public option. Senator Reid has suggested a opt-out by the states. There is a debate, or an active debate, about how the public option might come about. But overwhelmingly, 60% of the American public want a public option, and I think we should be listening to them as much as listening to ourselves.
In the meantime, Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina definitely put the kibosh on the whole public option thing. Here was his view.
Well, let's start with the House bill. The House bill is dead on arrival in the Senate. Just look at how it passed. It passed 220 to 215. It passed by two votes. You had 39 Democrats vote against the bill. They come from red states, moderate Democrats from swing districts. They bailed out on this bill. It was a bill written by liberals for liberals, and people like Joe Lieberman are not going to get anywhere near the House bill. It cuts Medicare by $500 billion. It's over $1 trillion in new spending. It does have the public option. So the House bill is a non-starter in the Senate. And let me tell you why Joe feels that way, and I do. I think the public option will destroy private health care. Nobody in this country in the insurance business can compete with a government-sponsored plan where the government writes the benefits and politicians will never raise the premiums. It will be a death blow to private choice. And all of these bills depend on reducing Medicare $400 to $500 billion over 10 years. Seniors are not going to like that. That's unnecessary. So I just think the construct out of the House and what exists in the Senate is not going to pass, and I hope and pray it doesn't, because it'd be a disaster for the economy and health care.
All right, so two very different points of view, and this is pretty much what we've seen across the board. However, a lot of people pointing to public sentiment, saying 60% or more of Americans want to see this passed and want to see some form of a public option. So I say again to the people listening on America Tonight, really, how many of you out there kicking back after watching maybe the late Sunday night game and a weekend of football, or hanging out with your boys, your girls, going to the soccer games, just hanging with your buddies, dropping a last line or two of the season fishing-wise, or going out getting ready for the whole deer thing, whatever. Whatever you did this weekend to chill, to relax, because, yeah, we live in the greatest country on the face of the earth because you have those freedoms, because people are protecting you so that you can do things like that, like kick back and go to the bar, perhaps, and tip back too many, maybe with your friends, or not at all. Just enjoy a quiet night at home. So here's the thing. How many of you listening think that there the House bill, a.k.a. now the Senate, with their different form of this, that this is the road to go on? That, yeah, absolutely, you're part of that sentiment. We need this now. We need something to happen. Let's shake it up. What's wrong with you people? And how many others are more concerned about what it will really look like in the end? This is my problem, because I've been told by the government too much. Okay, here's what we're going to do. And then three steps later, here's what they're not going to do. And it comes back to the do-re-mi. We don't want to have to reach into our pockets and have to pay what we cannot afford already. And small businesses, if too many of them get slammed with all these qualifiers, then people will lose their jobs. Then you've got no income coming in, and that's disastrous. That's the problem. So I think this is a rough road ahead. I will be stunned if when the Senate takes the baton, if you will, that they actually run it all the way across to the finish line and pass this sucker. I would be very, very surprised. I'll reiterate this again in case you just tuned in St. Louis or somewhere else. They're saying, what is this broad talking about? I think there should be some reform. There's no question about it. The insurance companies are ridiculous in so many cases. It's a nightmare. People get billed incorrectly. Doctors with the malpractice, a lot of good doctors fall by the wayside, and that's brutal. You know how it is when you find a doc you like, they know you. You know, it's all a science. Part of it's a guessing game anyway. But you get someone who knows you, likes you, has a baseline for things that have happened to you, and then they disappear. Oh, isn't that awful? And why? Because they're chased away, and I think more good doctors will be chased away. You need to, in a nutshell, to me, you need to erase the state line so there's more competition, so it's more affordable, and absolutely you need to attack malpractice insurance. Because should you have the right to go after something bogus that happens at a hospital or with a doctor? Absolutely. But when it gets out of control and the premiums are ridiculous and unaffordable and the doctors get accused of bogus lawsuits and then have to go through the process, then it's a lose for everybody. And I'll tell you, the worst hit, a lot of times OBGYNs are family doctors. So they want to bail out of the game because they cannot afford to stay in the game. And that is a big, big problem. So I think there are going to be many bumps in the next couple of weeks, and there's going to be many conversations, and we're going to talk about it here on America Tonight with more doctors. We've already looked at several points of view of this on both sides of it, all sides of it, actually. So is this House bill dead on arrival in the Senate, as Senator Lindsey Graham just said? You heard him. He was on one of the Sunday shows and just dismisses it. The Democrats are not lining up to challenge him. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid hasn't even scheduled a floor debate and has hinted last week, as you know, that the senators might not be able to finish health care this year. So I would not be surprised by that whatsoever, my friends. All right, I'm going to leave this with all of you. A final thought. It was Abe Lincoln who said, with public sentiment, nothing can fail. Without it, nothing can succeed.
Have a D-nob.
Fame, fortune, fast women.
Yeah. How about a beer?
Even better.
Okay, we got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time?